I'm Tamara.
And I'm Rao.
Welcome to the first episode of Fearful Friends Podcast. So we wanted to do a get to know us introduction.
We have been best friends for 12 years. We met working at a grocery store. We worked there together for 8 years. And then we became roommates. And then, you know, that carried on until we met some sexy mans in our lives that pulled us apart from each other, sadly.
Boo! I joke. We love them.
We sure do. But we also secretly wish that we could build a house next to each other with a little like walkway.
Sky bridge.
Sky bridge over to each other's houses.
Yeah. So Rel and I have worked in customer service for way too long. We have bonded sharing these shocking, disgusting, exhausting stories.
Tamara and I share a love of all things true crime, haunted, shocking, morbid, and interesting. And we just wanted to jump on the podcast bandwagon.
Each week, we vent about the horrors of working retail, get it off our chest, and then one of us shares a fascinating true story to distract the other one.
These stories can be anything from hauntings to conspiracies, historical stories, true crime, and everything in between.
So if you can use some distraction, stick around, subscribe, rate, review, and I think one day I want to do listener stories. So if you have a story you want to vent about or a crazy story you want to share,
you can send those stories to fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
So with that, let's get into the venting, the bitching. So my first rant is going to be back when we worked at the grocery store, when we would have to ID people for buying like alcohol or cigarettes or
I'm well aware
lottery. So there used to be this annoying thing where you would have to ID like everybody in the group. And so annoying kids would come in and, you know, one of them would be like of age. So this one time, this like brother and sister come in and the brother is buying cigarettes. And I could tell it's for his little sister. And I kind of know who this girl is. Do you know this story, Ro?
Sure do. 'Twas me.
So you were not 18, but I knew that. And so I said, I need your ID too.
You were being a total bitch that day. You could have just been cool, Tamara.
But that turned into a beautiful friendship. I think your little brother worked at the store at the time, and that's how I knew who you were.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally forgot. Oh, shit. You did know who I was.
Yeah.
Oops. Just got the wrong cashier that day, I guess.
But then you started working there, and we became best friends. The best job ever.
I don't even know how that happened. I guess one day we like decided to randomly go on a run together on the beach, which sounds like a fairy tale. And then we just started hanging out.
Macaroni and cheese.
Yes. Well, from the deli, of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fucking Stouffer's mac and cheese. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, we would sneak and eat our macaroni and cheese. And then we decided to go on runs at like 11 o'clock at night.
Mac and cheese.
And then those runs just turned into like drinking boxed wine at your parents' house. Which was just
perfect. Also underage.
Yeah.
Me, at least.
So.
What a good time, though.
Any other crazy customer service stories you can think of?
Only ones that involve poop.
All the best ones do.
God, I have so many poop stories. It's. They outweigh the other stories that I have. It's pretty disgusting. I guess the first one that comes to my head, I wasn't working at your store at the time. I was working at a different store. And this one customer came in. She had a muumuu on. And I'm assuming she didn't have any. Yep. Red flag number one. I'm assuming she wasn't wearing any underwear because it was coming out hot and heavy.
Oh, my God.
Just bloop, 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 bloop. All behind her on the way. And of course, you know how all grocery stores are laid out. The bathrooms are all the way in the back of the store. So it's like a little, an unhappy trail of little brown tears.
Follow the brown brick road.
I feel like a lot of people in customer service just clean poop a lot.
Yeah.
It's just so unfortunate.
So my story, I don't think we work together yet, but the grocery store we worked at was open on Thanksgiving. Such a brilliant idea.
God. Yeah. The adrenaline.
Anyway, so a lady and her daughter was like a teenager. They came up to customer service and they said, "Hey, there's a guy in a Corvette out in your parking lot and he's not moving."
He dead.
Yeah. So I call the managers up. We go out there. This guy is just out and his head's drooped down and we can't really tell if he's breathing. And he's in a Corvette. Thankfully, we can like get pretty close. We can't wake him up, but also he has a dog in the car with him, a big white dog, and it's a Corvette, and the dog will not let us get very close to the guy.
Oh, my God.
So we can't exactly, like...
You can't do anything.
We can't, like, go and, like, rock him, and, like, all we're doing is yelling, and he's not moving. He's not waking up. So we call, you know, 911, and thankfully they're right across the street from us. So
I remember that.
They come right over, and honestly, like, I thought we were gonna have a dead guy in our parking lot on Thanksgiving. Like, what a horrible story. Thank God he was not dead. But we all, like, everyone, we were just watching.
He was sleeping?
I think he was on drugs. They took him out.
Yeah.
He really, really couldn't get him awake, but someone came and got his dog somehow, and then they were able to get him out.
Maybe they gave him like Narcan or something. Maybe he had like a heroin overdose.
It was terrifying.
Damn.
But he wasn't dead. So yeah. Thank God. But people are just so crazy. They come in all types of intoxication. Like,
yeah.
On the 4th of July, I was closing and this lady comes in and she's like a regular and she would always buy beer from us. But she came in on the 4th of July so drunk that she's knocking over displays. And we had a display of like water toys or something like that because it was summer.
Uh-huh.
And she knocked that over and she had a case of beer in her hand. And I call my manager up to the front because
obviously you can't sell it to her and she's going to put up a fight.
Yeah. So he's like, ma'am, you know we can't sell it. And she just got so nasty with him. But come on. You knocked over an entire display.
You're not fit, ma'am. No. Obviously you can't handle your booze.
She probably got in the car and drove away.
That's the thing. Yes. You know that she probably did.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? She's now a client of the bank that I work at. And she came in the other day and I had to ID her because she needed to get into her safe deposit box. And she goes, "Oh, I don't have a driver's license." And I'm like,
"Oh, gee.
I know. I know, ma'am.
We know why.
I still need your ID."
You probably got pulled over that night.
Yeah. She goes, "Well, my passport, I think, is in my safe deposit box." I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus. What a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's been fun times, though.
I know. That was my absolute favorite job. I loved it there so much.
Even, like, working on the holidays and stuff, there was something about, like, the adrenaline of it all, which sounds so fucking stupid, but like,
yeah.
Sometimes I miss being just like a cashier and just like slinging those groceries.
Oh, I know. I would love to be a cashier again.
Yeah, just like, I mean, like, yeah, every now and then you get a customer like being super nasty with you about a price, but
Nat said it was buy one get one free. Doesn't that mean
it's free? Oh, it doesn't scan, it must be free. That still happens every day to poor, poor Americans everywhere out there. Right. Outlaw those people.
But I miss working together. We were like such a tight-knit family. I loved it so much. Even though we had so much like turnover and different people, it still always felt like a family there. I've never had a job where it was just so positive.
Yeah.
It was so fun. And you know, you worked early mornings. There was closing shifts.
Honestly, if the pay was better, like, I feel like we would all, I mean, and if our store didn't close. But yeah. I know. I feel like we all would have been, probably still been there.
Yeah. Ugh. I miss it so much.
Yeah. I do too.
But I got a best friend out of it and a husband.
I also got a best friend and a husband out of it. We all met at the store, and we all met our spouses at the store.
Yeah. Everyone worked. My brother worked there too.
Yeah. My brother met his, well, I guess they worked together at, or they went to school together, but then they ended up working together at the store too.
Yeah.
My brother and his wife. So yeah. We're all just like a weird, incestuous little grocery store family.
Yep.
I mean, not.
I feel like.
I'm going to edit that out.
No, we are. I feel like everyone, like all the grocery store, like everyone works together and they like move together.
Everybody
like
fucks everybody. Everybody dates everybody. Everybody knows everybody. If you're there for long enough.
Yeah.
Unless you're one of the douchebags that's there for like 2 months thinking he's going to like make the most money out of everybody, even though you're just a dick.
Or an elderly lady.
Oh, you just gave me a flashback.
Do tell.
God, what was her name?
Joan.
I was going to say Joanne.
There was a Joanne. A Joan and Joanne. They worked together at the same time.
Not Joan. Joan was nice.
Okay.
She was the Packers fan.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
She was slow, but she was awesome. Was it Joanne, though? She really got under my skin. She was so slow for no reason. She was just middle-aged. That's not a reason to be slow. Maybe I'm thinking of a different person. She had the big fluffy hair.
Yeah.
She was a problem. She was always on our fucking reports for being too slow.
Do you remember how she died?
She died?
She died while she worked for us. Do you not remember that?
No. Maybe we're talking about different people.
She,
I think. Oh, no, we are talking about different people. I'm sorry. I went to Joanne's funeral. I am not talking about that, Joanne. Jesus Christ. We can edit this out.
No, leave it in. This is hilarious.
Oh my God. No, that other lady. It was towards the end of your career at the grocery store because you left before I did.
Well, I left when the store closed and then you went to go work at a different store.
Oh. So we both worked with her. What the fuck was her name? Oh, she was just.
It probably was Joanne. There was more than one.
Because Joanne was gone from this earth, like, long before the store was getting ready to close.
I have to tell the story of what happened to her.
Oh, go ahead.
So, one day, she just couldn't come into work anymore because she died. But listen.
Jesus Christ.
Listen. The rumor, and I still don't know if it's true or not, because.
Did she have a heart attack?
She had a heart attack in the car of her boyfriend. She was married. Her boyfriend was some young guy that she was dating. This is a rumor.
So what really happened then?
I don't know. But that's all I know.
What does the police report say? What does her obituary say?
I don't know. And like, so.
Her funeral was very godly.
Her best friend denies that that's what happened, but would never tell us the story. Never would tell us what really happened. She knew it really happened.
Well, maybe she was just really hurt by it.
Yeah. I mean, she was very hurt by losing her best friend. And like so suddenly, like especially because they work together, that would be like me losing you. Like it would be so horrible.
Yeah.
And like.
I hope you tell the news about me.
Honestly, if you were like dating some hot dude and like had a heart attack in the car, I'd tell your legendary story to everyone proudly.
I don't want you to tell people I had a heart attack in the car.
Okay, well, I'll just tell them that you died while you were on a date with your...
Tell them I, like, shot up or something. Something cool. I don't know. I don't have a heart attack. It's just like she's fucking fat and ate too many cheeseburgers.
She passed out.
Joanne was very fit, though.
Yeah.
So that is a little suspicious.
Oh, that was so weird.
Wow, I totally forgot that.
Like,
I like blacked that out of my memory. What a scandal. I even went to her funeral and I forgot that.
What a scandal. She's cheating on her husband on a date and died.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Okay. All right. I don't need her ghost haunting us, Tamara. Isn't she from like New York or something?
Yes.
They're so vengeful.
I feel like that was a distraction before a distraction.
Yes. Tell me, what do you have for me today?
I have a really crazy story.
I'm excited about it.
I love it. I'm so excited to tell
you. She's literally vibrating over there. She's like a little
mostly because
buzz muffin.
I wrote it like a week and a half ago, and I don't remember most of it. So it's a surprise to both of us now.
She wrote it in a manic episode.
Yeah, it was like the middle of the night, you know, when you get your best work done.
We love those. Yeah. I get my best work done when I have an hour to do so, and
there has to be a time crunch.
It's just very stressful. Yeah. It's very stressful. Yeah. Carry on. Okay.
So, I'm just going to tell you the story. I'm not going to introduce it.
That's fine.
Because I don't want to give it away.
Okay. I don't know what it is anyway.
So on Friday, October 1st, 1993, coworkers.
I was a year old. I was almost a year old. Sorry. In case anyone was wondering.
93. Oh, no. So I was 3.
You're only 2 years older 4. Than me?
I was born in 89. I was 4.
I thought you were so much older than me.
Thanks.
No, I thought you were like 5 years old. I thought you were the same age as Matt.
No, Matt's older than me.
Oh. So I just like old men.
I'm only 34. Right?
I'm only 30. I'm
34. Okay, I'm 4 years older than you.
You just said you were 2 years older than me.
I was born in 89. This is
okay.
Let's move on.
We can just cut that out because eventually we're gonna say it's my birthday, and then somebody's gonna like figure out what our birthday and year is, and then they're gonna steal our social security number.
You can send me
April 28th,
1989.
Yeah. So steal her identity.
Send me gifts too.
No, they're gonna steal your identity because that's what happens. Carry on. Sorry. October 1st, 1983.
Yeah. Friday, October 1st, 1993.
Again. Yes.
Coworkers Heather Tallchief, Scott Stewart, and Steve Marshall, employees for Loomis Armored Car Company.
I know them.
Yeah. Were making their rounds supplying several casinos and ATMs on the Las Vegas Strip with cash. So Loomis is similar to Brinks and Garda. For those who don't know, they're like an armored truck company who is like custodians for cash.
We're familiar with them because they would like bring us all of our money that we ordered at for the grocery store. For people that don't
spend all day counting tons of money that isn't their own.
I love counting money.
It's I love counting money too.
That's why I kind of hated when we went to the weighing system. That's just me though.
Yeah. So The armored van that day had over $3 million.
Jeez! Are they allowed to carry that much?
It's Vegas.
It's Vegas, baby. You had to say that. Why didn't you say that?
I didn't even think of it.
It's Vegas, baby. I'll say it for you.
Nope. The cash they had was mostly hundreds and $20 bills. Fuck a 50, I guess. Seriously, nobody wants 50s.
I don't want a 50. What can you do with a 50?
No one wants 50s.
Too far away from the mic.
At 9:20 in the morning, Heather drove to the back portion of the Circus Hotel and Casino and dropped off her two partners to fill the 5 ATMs inside. The last ATM they were scheduled to service was by the side entrance of Circus Circus. Their procedure was for Heather to pull around to that entrance and pick them up around 10:15. So they had about an hour inside of Circus Circus to fill all the ATMs.
Damn.
And then meet Heather on the side entrance.
That's not a lot of time.
No, it's not, because I watched them fill ATMs twice a week, my ATM, and it takes them about 20 minutes to fill my one ATM.
So you're thinking like an entire casino.
Yeah.
They had five
ATMs inside this casino. That's all they were doing. They weren't doing the actual casino. They were just doing the ATMs. So they had an hour. So Heather would wait in the car for an hour and pull around the side at the time that they were supposed to meet, which is at 10:15. Could you imagine having an armored truck in Las Vegas? How terrifying would that be?
I can't imagine being in Las Vegas, period. That's the last place I want to... You honeymooned there.
I loved Las Vegas, honestly. And it was like winter, so I would never go back when it's hot, though.
That's true. Yeah. But it's a dry heat, I think.
Gross.
It's better than a humid heat, like what we have here in Florida.
I guess.
Carry on.
When Scott and Steve exited the casino, the truck was nowhere to be seen. They tried to contact Heather via radio and then her cell, but they got no response from her. At first, they had assumed she had gotten stuck in traffic or there had been an accident, and even joked that she might have taken the van. So Heather was kind of new to this job, and she was even new to driving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the person you want driving an armored truck, I guess. Right.
She really won over the confidence of the Loomis, her boss supervisors, and she was driving the route.
Are they armed?
They are.
It seems like not something that you can just like on a whim be like, hey, here you go.
Right. So that's why they assumed that she got stuck in traffic or lost or she had gotten into an accident because she was just so new to driving. And new to the route. Yeah. Eventually, the Las Vegas police were called. And when there was no trace of her van, they initially thought she was abducted. But surveillance showed 21-year-old Heather pulling away after dropping off her two coworkers and then driving past the spot they were supposed to meet at.
Wait a minute. Did she take the van? Heather! <Yep. laughs>
There was no...
Wow, I just fucking put that together.
Right? There was no sign that she had met foul play, and police concluded that she fled with $3 million in unmarked cash.
Hot damn!
Yep. So just to give you a better idea, that equals about $6.2 million today, almost 30 years later.
Wow.
$6.2 million in cash.
But I'm assuming since we know her name and we know this story, she got caught. Not to skip ahead to the end, but...
No.
What?
She was never caught.
Sorry. Spoiler! We
just know that that's who worked there. She was an employee.
OMG! Mm-hmm. I kind of am in love with her.
So,
fight the man.
Yeah. Heather, originally from Buffalo, New York, was a descendant of the Seneca tribe. Before working for Loomis, she was a nursing assistant at an AIDS hospice.
I didn't know that they had specific hospices for AIDS.
I didn't either, but maybe in 1993
they did. Oh, you know what? They probably did. Yeah. Oh,
late 80s.
So bleak.
Yeah. Co-workers said she was a great worker who had amazing empathy for her patients. She ended her career in nursing, later explaining in the Netflix docuseries Heist that her work around terminal patients had been impacting her emotionally.
This is on Netflix and I haven't watched it.
And she turned to drugs to cope with how difficult her job was.
Damn.
Yeah. During this time in her life, she met and fell in love with Roberto Solis, who was 48 at the time. Heather was 21.
Shit.
Solis had previously been sentenced to life in prison after shooting and killing a guard during an armored car heist in 1969 in San Francisco.
Hot.
Yeah. He was, however, paroled in 1991 after fans of his five critically acclaimed poetry books petitioned the parole board for his release and grant him leniency.
The man wrote poetry?
Yeah. So a convicted murderer was released on parole. He was sentenced to life and he was released. I know this wasn't, it wasn't intentional homicide. He went in there to, you know, rob an armored truck and ended up killing a guard.
Still killed somebody though.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing with like first degree, second degree. It's hard.
Right. But we're releasing convicted killers. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Let's get past that.
But if I were to run over somebody on the side of the road accidentally, should I be in jail for life?
Manslaughter.
If it was an accident. I love you. Manslaughter. No. Moving on.
Well, I'm assuming that you weren't like on drugs or doing anything wrong.
I hope not. I was probably just really angry, but
goddamn not Instacart at them, shoppers,
but not at them. This wasn't paying attention.
This is being recorded, just so you know.
It's not an admission of guilt.
The couple relocated to Las Vegas and Heather took a job with Loomis, the same company Solis had attempted to rob back in 1969.
Damn.
69. Okay. Just had to say that.
Let me go.
Boop, 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 boom.
a very quiet horn.
In the docuseries, Heather said she didn't put those two things together at the time. However, according to FBI records, Heather and Roberto began planning the robbery soon after they met. After dropping off her two coworkers, Heather drove the armored van to an industrial warehouse where Roberto Solis was waiting. This storage unit was rented by Roberto, who had opened a fake company that specialized in retrofitting vehicles to be used as armored cars. This way, no one would be suspicious when an actual armored van pulled in. They transferred the money into their getaway car and left the van in the warehouse. The couple then shipped the cash in boxes to Miami, like right away, right after they did this. She did this heist. They got the money, put it in a different car, and then shipped it to Miami.
Genius.
Yeah. And then they arrived at the airport in Las Vegas, where they had chartered a private plane to Denver under false names, disguised as a feeble elderly lady and her doctor.
Wow. They really thought of everything.
The FBI discovered that Heather and Roberto had taken the same flight 2 weeks before the robbery in an attempt to establish a pattern to remove suspicion on the day of the robbery.
Damn.
So when they go to this FBO place where the private planes are, the people who work the front desk have already seen them before. So even though there was suspicion of an armed robbery in the local area, they're not suspicious of these people coming in.
Goodness. Damn.
However, the pilots of the private jet say that Heather simply got up from her wheelchair and walked off the plane after they landed.
And they were like, huh, that's interesting.
Right. Like, after all that planning, why would you do that in front of the pilots?
Just for funsies.
The FBI traced Heather and Roberto to a room they rented in Denver, but by the time they got there, it was too late. The couple had escaped to Florida to retrieve their loot and then flew to the Caribbean and finally to the Netherlands, where they lived for about a year off of the stolen money, which Roberto closely controlled.
Oh, she wasn't even allowed to, like, fucking spend it how she wanted?
No.
What a turd.
Yeah. And she was still the face of this robbery. Yeah. Roberto wasn't. Yeah. So she still
taking the heat.
Was in hiding.
They're looking for her, not him.
Yeah, she was still in hiding. Not as much in the Netherlands, but she still was the face. This is when Heather found out she was pregnant with Roberto's child. 2 months after her son's birth, she left Roberto to give her son a chance at a normal life. According to Heather, she had not seen Roberto since, and he has all of the stolen money.
So, what was she doing? How did she make money to support her kid?
Heather obtained a fake UK passport. Oh,
you're going to tell me?
Spent the following... No, I'm just going to answer your question.
Thank you.
Spent the following years living a mostly normal life, working as a hotel maid to support them, and eventually finding a new partner to raise her son with.
Aww.
Heather, however, used a fake accent and did not socialize much to avoid people asking about her past.
Hmm.
Eventually, she had enough... living a lie, and she wanted her son to have a normal life and be able to travel and obtain a U.S. citizenship. When her son was 10, she contacted a lawyer in the U.S. and traveled to Las Vegas to turn herself in. So at this point, like, passports last for 10 years. So she had gotten that fake passport when she left Solis. So her passport was expiring when her son was 10, and she knew that she had to make a choice.
Yeah.
Either change her identity because she no longer knows this person she got this passport from.
Mm-hmm.
Completely change her identity, explain this to her son, change her son's identity, or turn herself in and have a shot at a normal life.
Yeah, because I'm sure she would probably be given some sort of leniency for being the one to rat on.
Right.
Douche knocker.
Yeah. Yeah, so she contacted a lawyer in the U.S., traveled to Las Vegas, and turned herself in. That's why I said she was never caught. She turned herself in.
Oh, tricked you? You did trick me, yeah. And I already forgot.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just got so sucked up into the story. I was like, I don't know whether to hate her or, like, I kind of like her.
Right, I know.
Right?
At only 33 years old, facing 10 felony charges and 40 years in prison, Heather pled guilty to the charges of bank embezzlement, credit union embezzlement, and possession of a fraudulently obtained passport.
Is there a difference between bank embezzlement and credit union embezzlement?
I think because banks are like federally regulated, credit unions are not. So the bank embezzlement is like a federal charge. I don't know about the credit union. I just know that's a difference.
Hmm. Cray, cray.
Heather's defense argued that she had been brainwashed, manipulated, and ordered to commit the crime by Roberto Solis.
Damn, they're going right in.
Right. Heather was sentenced to 5 years and ordered to pay back the $2.9 million in restitution to Loomis.
Even though she ratted on what's-his-face.
And she doesn't have any of the money, is her story. She then spent another 5 years under federal supervision and has since returned to working in healthcare. Although, with all that money that you owe, what would her paycheck look like? Because they would just garnish your paycheck.
Zero.
$2.9 million you owe.
Yeah, you're looking at zero.
Like, I would only work under the table. Like, I'm not saying they don't deserve their money back, but, like...
Well, you can't work under the table because... I don't know.
Right? Like, what does your paycheck look like?
They would fucking find... They would find a way to take something from you.
What's a payment plan look like for $2.9 million? They said that she will be paying... OJ. She will be paying that for the rest of her life, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, yeah. That's terrible.
You know.
Did they ever find that son of a bitch?
No. Roberto Solis is still at large.
God damn it!
If he were alive, he would be 77 years old.
That old man is sitting on his laurels.
If I did the math correct, 77. I don't know. He may now be in Jamaica, Mexico, Colorado, Nevada. Or Europe, you know, Europe.
basically like
anywhere
in any one of the three continents.
Yeah.
Right?
Or maybe in space, who knows?
Is South America and North America a different continent?
Can we not show our stupidity now?
I've always said I'm not good at geography.
So, Roberto Solis is between 5'10 and 5'11, weighs between 150 and 180 pounds. He has hazel eyes.
He's so tiny.
He is. Hazel eyes and
smaller than me.
curly brown hair. He wears glasses and has an eye disease that, if has not been corrected with surgery, makes his eyes bug out.
Ugh.
In case you've ever seen this teeny little bug-eyed man.
Anybody in LA has FBI. Seen this teeny little bug-eyed man.
Roberto has the words Esta Vida Loca tattooed on his right forearm.
Also, anybody in LA.
Right. Heather, however, does not believe that he's still alive for whatever reason. She doesn't give a reason. Many sources I read referred to this as the perfect crime, but I hardly consider living on the run from the FBI perfect.
No, and she certainly isn't living this perfect life. I mean, maybe for him it's the perfect crime.
Right. So no one was harmed in the robbery and no threats of physical violence were made. So that does make it near perfect.
Yeah.
I mean.
She just straight up drove off with $3 million.
Right.
The end. Like, it was so easy.
Heather has stated in the docuseries that she didn't know any of the plans for the robbery until the day when Roberto ordered her to commit the robbery and follow his plan. Do you believe any of that at all?
No. I'm sorry.
No.
I like Heather, but be a bad bitch in your own. Like, don't tell a man telling you to order. No.
She had to know in some way because he had to know the route, the stops, what was happening inside the casinos.
She knew it.
The time where she would have the most money on her. The days that she would have the most money on her.
I mean, I definitely do think that they were probably working together. And obviously. Like, here's the thing. Like, why would you give him all your money?
Like, Loomis will never go and do the same route every single day. Their routes change constantly. So she had to tell him. This isn't just like, okay, today, I think you're going to do this.
Yeah.
No, this is a well thought out and well, like, obviously you chartered the plane ahead of time.
Yeah. There were a lot of things set in motion.
Yeah. Yeah. I do believe.
I'm still mad that he's not caught.
I do believe she was a victim, but not totally innocent.
Not totally guilty?
Nope. She was a victim.
Oh, she was a victim. Okay.
Of Solis, but okay. She wasn't totally innocent. She okay. knew what was happening.
She knew what she was doing was wrong.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
She stated that at the same time she was working at the hospice facility, she was also sexually assaulted by a family member.
Damn.
Everything really affected her mentally, and I think she was in a poor headspace that led her to be able to be manipulated by Roberto, and he sensed that in her.
They can do.
Yeah. She knew it was
nasty
going on,
man.
But I do think she was a victim of him, and it's horrible. That's and she
wild.
Was also on drugs, and I mean,
what kind of drugs was she on?
I don't know. I didn't look that up.
Down us?
No idea. She was 21 when she did this. So eventually she grew up.
Wow.
She had a family.
Yeah.
She realized that she needed to do the right thing. And she served her time. She turned herself in. I think her sentence was
fair.
I think
she fucking turned herself in. But like, I also feel like she shouldn't be the one to solely like pay back the money.
Right.
I mean, she didn't have it. And I know, like, a lot of people that would get caught would lie about it, but
according to her, she didn't have any of it.
It's true. Just according to her. Yeah. We don't know her life.
And according to her, she never spoke with Solis, never had contacted him ever again after she left when her son was 2 months old. But that's also according to her.
Yeah.
We don't know the real story. That's her story. It could be totally true. She could have taken some of that money. She could have contact with Solis.
That's wild.
Yeah. Her sentence, I think it was fair. And now she's a functioning member of society.
Paying back $2-3 million right. dollars in debt.
She's a badass story. Yeah. You can watch the docuseries on Netflix. It's the first two episodes of the docuseries is based on this. It's called Heist. It's an actor that tells her story. And at the very end, they like shade her face. And she does come in and talk.
I can't believe I haven't seen this.
Right. It's a crazy story. And I mean, like, I deal with Loomis every day. So that's why I felt so.
When you hinted that there was going to be something about a heist, I thought you were going to talk about the other Netflix doc with like the.
Stop.
Uh-oh. Is
I'm doing that one.
Story? The collar.
Doing that one. Yes. It's mine.
Oh, that's such
I claimed it. I know. I love it.
I love it too. No, I'm not taking that on. You have that.
Right.
There's too many facets. I get stressed.
It is a lot. I love that story. It's crazy.
Wild.
Yeah. I mean.
How easy would it be to just. I mean. I wonder. But now all the trucks probably have GPS.
Right.
On them.
That's what I was thinking.
I was just thinking, how easy would it be to like drive off with a Loomis truck now? But there's. They don't drive around alone anymore.
They do.
No, our Loomis drivers were always twosies. There right. was a driver and then a guy that came and delivered.
They're alone now.
What?
They're alone.
Why?
The driver literally gets out.
So the car is just sitting there.
Yeah. Whatever. Maybe I shouldn't have put that on recording, but like,
shit.
It's not like they try to hide it.
No.
They make it very, like you can see them
yeah,
getting out and working. Windows. Yeah. I mean, the car is secure.
Yeah, well, yeah,
they can't get like into the vehicle.
Glass. I'm sure it's locked and all that stuff, but like, shit. I'm sure they have like GPS on them now. It's not like nobody can drive off with it.
Yeah, and I think now that all of their cash has, you know, the bait and dye packs
and
you know, all the
lame.
All the other stuff that I'm not going to get into because I work in banking and I know how they secure their money.
Ooh. Sneaky. Yeah. She knows all the secrets.
I don't, but
oh.
I can assume. All the other stuff that they use.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine working for an armored car in Las Vegas. Like, people are crazy in Las Vegas.
People are crazy already in Las Vegas.
And they know that, like, you have so much more money because that's all that goes on. Like, that's where all the cash is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But also, people are crazy in Florida.
Thank God.
I mean, wilding out here. I feel like in Las Vegas, they have respect for the casino industry.
Wishful thinking.
That's what I'd like to think, at least.
So.
That's a fun distraction.
Yeah. So I'm so excited. Our episodes will be a little out of order, but I'm excited next week for you to do your story. We don't know what it'll be.
Yeah.
But
we'll have to figure it out. Should be interesting.
/ spooky, / haunted, / fun.
Yeah. So I think we're
going
to.
Maybe not fun.
Release these weekly. I'm thinking Fridays, right?
Yep.
Every Friday we'll do a weekly release. And hopefully we'll be able to add some listener tales in there.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, like, you know.
We get enough listeners. Subscribe.
Maybe we'll start out with some family friends. Who the fuck knows? Yep.
Subscribe. Rate our podcast if you love us. Send us those emails with your stories to
feelforfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. Thank you so much for listening, friends.
Thank you so much. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.